Hey, I'm Woof.
I'm Facebook.
What's up, Facebook?
I sent you a Facebook message yesterday. I still haven't heard anything back.
You should have sent me a Woof.
A what?
When you send a Woof, it goes to your home phone, cell phone, email, Facebook, Twitter, and home screen. All at the same time.
Woof.
Woof.com.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly episode 33. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into it, let's get into the housekeeping. First note, I apologize in advance for the audio quality. I'm using a different mic. Weiss's mic broke, and I think the one who might sound the best out of all three is our guest, who I'll introduce shortly. Note number two, the NYG Weekly Fantasy League. Thank you guys for your interest. Honestly, too much interest because we have an 18-person league, so you better study up. And if you're not a fan of that, let me know so I can kick you out so that we can get a more attainable number, because I've never been in a league more than 14 people, and 18 is intimidating even for myself. So if you're not interested, let me know. If not, it's going to be insane. Next note, giveaways. The giveaway will be out on Twitter. The first giveaway will be out on Twitter probably right after you're listening to this. Three tailgate giveaways we're going to do. The first is a tailgate football. That's what we're going to be giving away for this episode. The next one is going to be a tailgate chair. And the third and final one is going to be a New York Giant wheelie cooler. One of those big ass ones you can bring to your tailgate and fill with delicious beer. So keep your eye out for that. As always, subscribe. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boom, of course. Follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. And last but not least, our guest, Ryan Smith from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Smith. He is the official media correspondent for the Giants this year. Ryan, congratulations and welcome.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be on. It should be a good episode.
Definitely. All right. Without further ado, let's get into it. Let's talk preseason game number one. I have really no starting point for this. I do want to focus on the offensive line specifically, which we can do more in depth after we discuss preseason one. Let's do our likes and dislikes quickly. Weiss, I'm going to kick it to you to start. Let's talk preseason one.
Preseason one, it was sort of interesting. You know, right off the bat, the big thing for me was obviously no Eli, no Odell. But we saw Josh Johnson start at quarterback over Geno Smith.
And yuck.
The sort of biggest takeaway I have from that is, well, Geno looked a lot better than Josh Johnson did. Geno looked comfortable in the offense, 10 of 16 for 114 yards. He did have the interception, but, you know, he is Geno Smith. You can expect one of those game. Josh Johnson, 5 of 10 for 31 yards. I thought he looked the worst of the three, including Davis Webb, who got a little bit of action late in the game. So for me, you know, seeing the quarterback two battle in camp, I think Geno is ahead of Josh Johnson right now. Dislike the running game, and I think that can sort of piggyback to the offensive line and their struggles run blocking. Really, they didn't do much on the ground. Perkins, 5 carries for 3 yards. Darkwood had 3 for 18. But, you know, Wayne Gallman at 5 for 11, so really didn't see much from the run game. But my biggest like was probably the defense from top to bottom. We didn't see the starters a lot, but the defense, the reserves, the backups, the guys fighting for a job all played really, really well. And I was, you know, pretty impressed, and I think there's going to be some tough decisions for the front office when they have to cut that roster down to 53. Those are my likes and those are my dislikes, and I'll pass it on to you guys.
All right, let's go to Ryan, our guest. Give us some likes and dislikes from preseason game number one.
Yeah, sure. So I'll start with my likes. I actually really like the 3-tech spot where Jonathan Hankins will obviously have to be replaced this year. One of my things was I actually thought that Jonathan Hankins wasn't that much of an asset to the team last year for the amount of snaps that he played. Wasn't really a great pass rusher, and I think – as much as we love Damon Harrison, I actually don't think he even got enough credit. He was undercredited. So I'm interested to see if Jay Bromley or eventually, Dalvin Tomlinson will take over that spot. So we'll have to see. But in the first game, Bromley was pretty solid. He had 78.9 overall grade, two stops in a hurry, so that's solid production. And then Dalvin Tomlinson had an 82.7 grade. He was the second highest graded player in the game, and I actually mentioned him in my game preview. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to end up winning that spot at three tech next to Snacks. And then another like, I'd have to go with actually Calvin Munson. So I'm interested to see how he's going to play this year. He was our eighth highest graded linebacker in the entire FBS last season. But their scheme was actually weird because they set him up for a lot of success. So he didn't really have to shed blocks. He was schemed open to have unblocked cleanup stops, but he did play well. So I'm interested to see how he progresses this preseason. If he's going to make the roster, it's probably because of special teams, which he did perform well on as well. But I thought that was interesting. One more like, I have to go with Andrew Adams.
Special teams, baby.
So one of the things that I do is our special teams grading, and I watched the Giants game, and Andrew Adams was absolutely unbelievable. He forced a cut on a kickoff. He had a tack on a kickoff and two punt return tackles, which was unbelievable. So that was really good. I know he's not getting a ton of snaps because obviously they want Darian Thompson to win the free safety job. But all in all, I thought that was a good performance by him. My dislike has to be Davis Webb. I wasn't a big fan of the pick going into this season when they drafted him. But he was really not the greatest. And, he only completed one ball over 10 yards, I believe, which really isn't too great. I know he's a rookie. He'll probably improve, but not a great first outing from Davis Webb.
All right, good notes all around. I'm going to probably give my opinion on a few things that you guys talked about. Weiss, you led off with the quarterbacks. I agree. Geno looked incredibly comfortable in the offense. Sort of refreshing to see someone who can really navigate the pocket and run outside the pocket, run on the move, complete some passes on the move. We saw that once or twice. And even off a fresh ACL injury. So that was good to see. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to win the job. Ryan, you brought up the three tech spot next to Snacks. I was a huge fan of the Dalvin Tomlinson pick. I sort of erred to your side in regards to Hankins year last year. I thought that as good as he has been for the Giants, I think that there was a lot to be desired in terms of his pass rushing ability. And maybe you have some numbers on Dalvin Tomlinson's pass rush efficiency at Alabama or, Hankins' pass rush efficiency last year. But I always believed that Tomlinson would be more of a pass rush presence next to, you know, the run stopping defensive tackle that is Snacks. And that's not to say that Snacks can't rush the passer. It's just technically his weaker of the two. You know, his run defense is unbelievable. So I liked what I saw out of that. One thing that I really, really liked, and I feel like not that many people are talking about it, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was the Giants were in 11 personnel only 68% of the time. And I think if you sort of look at Mike McCarthy's offense in Green Bay, Ben McAdoo worked with him for a long time, you started to see a lot of different fullbacks and tight ends getting involved. We saw completions to Jarrell Adams. Rhett Ellison, who was being, you know, raved about as an underrated pass catcher, he saw some action in the passing game. Shane Smith saw a few receptions. I like that they're spreading the ball out more, especially to some guys who you wouldn't necessarily expect to see in the passing game. Now, maybe that was more of a result of Odell not playing and Marshall not playing and Shepard not playing. But I really like the fact that now that he has that arsenal of tight ends, that he's getting them, you know, really, really involved in the offense. In terms of my dislikes, I'm going to go to the offensive line. I want to talk about it more specifically after this, and I'll let you guys comment on my takeaways. If Ereck Flowers doesn't work out, the Giants are fucked because Bisnawati, as well as Wheeler, looked like the weakest bookends you've ever seen out there. Granted, both are rookies, first preseason game. Still, tackle position, not an easy one, and both late round or undrafted picks. To learn that in four games and a preseason before the season starts, it's Ereck Flowers and Bobby Hart, or the Giants are screwed, in my opinion. You know, you could have maybe Justin Pugh move over and play left tackle, but the Giants seem really opposed to that. So it's Flowers or bust, and I know that makes a lot of fans queasy, but I thought he played decently in the game. I would say adequate you know, fans were blaming him for one or two of the sacks, even though they weren't technically his fault. And Ryan, maybe you could touch on that. But I thought he played decent. That's not to say I think he's a good left tackle. I think he had a decent first preseason game, and he's someone we need to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I completely agree with a couple of those points there. The Tomlinson one I'll start off with. Yeah, I think he had 70 pressures in college or something like that. He's not going to get a ton of sacks, but he can definitely push the pocket. And he's definitely going to be more effective than Jonathan Hankins was last year. I don't have the numbers straight in front of me, but I know that Hankins really didn't do much in the way of pass rushing. I'm interested to see. I think they could put Tomlinson maybe over the nose, take out snacks on third downs. Like, you know, that's obviously not what he's there for. He's an elite run stuffer. We can give you a million numbers on that, but he's amazing at run stuffing. He doesn't need to be out there and passing downs. Right. So throw Tomlinson on the nose, maybe bring in an edge rusher or, you know, Devon Kennard or something. I know they were doing that later in the season. So bring another guy in to beef up that pass rush on third down, and then I'll move over to Flowers. Yeah, he played 18 snaps. He had 12 pass blocks and no pressures or hits or sacks. I tweeted that out and everybody was freaking out about it. They couldn't believe it. But so one other thing that we look at are if the defender beats the offensive lineman, but the pass is out too quickly, so it wouldn't technically be a pressure because he didn't affect the quarterback, we still downgrade the tackle or guard, whoever it might be, on that play. Flowers didn't have any of those either, so I thought he did a pretty good job getting his hands on Watt, and Watt really struggled to disengage. You know, he kind of let Watt turn the corner, but he didn't lose him from there. And then his problems are really when a guy beats him from the outside. So, yep. You know, I thought he did a good job with that. Watt's sacks were actually clean up and unblocked. So yeah, he had a solid game, but I don't think it was as good as people were saying. But yeah, that sack was actually not on Flowers. Richburg got pressured on the inside by Cam Hayward, I think it was. Johnson stepped up and Watt, you know, walked into that sack.
Definitely. Weiss, you got anything else to add before we go right into the specifics of the offensive line?
Yeah, I'll just touch on one last thing in the preseason.
Do it, I know, yeah.
He played well. He has an Eric Flowers. He played well. But we have to take into account, you know, he was going against T.J. Watt, who, you know, had two sacks, like you guys said, were sort of clean, and he just, you know, ran and tackled the quarterback. But T.J. Watt was playing in his first preseason game, first NFL game ever. So you have to probably assume he had some jitters. But I thought we saw some better technique from Eric Flowers. He did use his hands a lot better. I saw him sort of with the punch kind of slow down T.J. Watt. But it, like you said, Ethan, it's something to keep an eye on as the preseason moves forward. If his snaps pick up, we know in practice there have been a lot made about, you know, the way Olivier Vernon has handled him. But, you know, I just think it's something to keep an eye on. I think it was too small of a sample size to really change our opinion or alter it. I think adequate is a good term to use. But he did only play 18 snaps.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the offensive line in particular. And I spoke today with Art Stapleton, our good friend, NJ.com. I sent him a message because, as I'm sure both of you have seen, as well as many of our listeners have seen, he posted that video of every single snap that Eric Flowers took at practice. So I just DM'd him. I wanted to ask him about it specifically because he didn't share his opinion. And a lot of people were giving him shit for it because they said, oh, you are sharing your opinion. Oh, why don't you do share an opinion? Because Twitter is Twitter and people are all over the place. He basically said, here's the video. You look and you judge for yourselves. And I watched the video and I came away completely unimpressed. I thought he was too tall. His first punch got a little bit better, but he was working Olivier Vernon way too high. He was getting beat. And I came away essentially with the same impression that I did before. Now, I don't want to call it a spin zone, but it is a little bit of a spin zone for those who did see the clip and came away, I guess, unimpressed. Essentially, what Art told me, and this is what other players told him, is that in the preseason and specifically during camp and practice, which Art was filming, there's no element of surprise. The defense knows when the offense is going to run or when they're going to pass. So, you know, the defensive end can sort of just make one move and the tackles are at an immediate disadvantage. They basically know that based on the drill that they're running. So automatically, Ereck Flowers, Bobby Hart at a disadvantage. The second part is essentially neither tackle is going to get any help in practice because practice is practice. They're not going to send a tight end to help for these design plays. They're going to address the tackles. They're going to see what their weaknesses are. They're going to put them on an island. So again, Ereck Flowers not receiving any help in those snaps that we saw from Art. So I just wanted to throw that out there and see what you guys thought about that.
Go ahead, Ryan. You want to chime in? You were at camp earlier this week as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into practice reps. I'd rather see what they do in the preseason games. He was fine in the preseason game. I know people might not want to admit it, but you know, he didn't play badly. So I think that has to be an improvement. You know, I'm not going to put a ton of stock into practice reps. I don't know about you, Weiss.
I don't necessarily put too much stock into it either. The one thing I will say though is, you know, I see people say, well, it's practice and it's you know, it's good. It's Olivier Vernon, and you know, Olivier Vernon is a great pass rusher. And you know, Ethan, you just shared that information about how the defense sort of knows what's coming, and you know, but the issue with Flowers to me is the attitude off the field.
Yep.
Doesn't seem to really, I don't know if he's delusional or if he just doesn't care, but every time I hear him talk, it's sort of this attitude that, you know, it's not my fault. You know, I'm playing just fine, you know, and I don't know, Ryan, if you've been in on these press conferences or not. I know you just started your new position with PFF, but you know, it's sort of, when I watch these clips online and I see him on Giants.com, it just seems like he is out of touch with the situation. The situation being that, you know, he was a first round pick and after 2 years has, you know, showed little to no improvement, and entering the third year, the mistakes that we're seeing in practice, whether we want to, you know, hold them to a certain standard or not, is the same mistakes that we see in the game. Now, obviously, he's not going to face, you know, Olivier Vernon every single week. But when you look at the Giants' schedule, there are top-notch pass rushers that he's going to be playing. So if he loses the battle, you know, 70-30 or 80-20 to Olivier Vernon consistently, that sort of is a concern now. Is it complete panic mode, and should we start talking about finding a replacement now? No. Obviously, he did play well in the preseason, but it's a culmination of things with Ereck Flowers on and off the field that's sort of concerning to me and makes me think that, you know, this year is going to be a lot like the previous 2 years with him.
And before I kick it to you, Ryan Weiss, I just want to throw one more thing in. We saw Dan Duggan pretty much come out and say that McAdoo admitted to treating him with kid gloves. You know, he was very harsh on someone like Paul Perkins. Meanwhile, Ereck Flowers is pretty much only getting, you know, praised for the good stuff and really not getting cracked on for the negative stuff. So, you know, it's not just maybe a delusion thing. It's, he's mentally weak, and you can't have that in a tackle, especially one who's going to be going up against some of the best defenses or defensive pass rushers this league has. I mean, I'm looking at some of the names here, and a lot of these are going to be Bobby Hart, but listen, if Ereck Flowers is struggling, they're going to be moved around. You know, they're going to be seeing Von Miller, Justin Houston, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Ryan Kerrigan, Brandon Graham, Chris Averill. It's not an easy schedule for the offensive line, and if Ereck Flowers isn't slightly less than adequate, which I would say is his ceiling, embarrassingly enough, the Giants are screwed, because this can derail their entire season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been said a million times. A lot of those guys, well, those guys do rush from the right or the left side, so they will be going up against Bobby Hart, but I can see them moving him around. There's definitely no doubt about it. He's got to improve this year. And then to just bring another point up, when I was at practice on Wednesday of last week, that was when Chad Wheeler got thrown in the mix there, right, and they took Flowers out. McAdoo said that you know, he wasn't injured or anything like that. He just, you know, he got pulled and that was that. Now, Chad Wheeler, I don't know that he's really the answer there, because in the preseason game, he gave up 2 sacks and 2 hurries. So
to the second and third stringers.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, even if Flowers doesn't improve, I'm not sure there really is another answer there. So I agree. It could derail the season.
Yeah, not optimistic.
Yeah, I think we'll say this. You know, last year, defenses figured out how to play the Giants. You know, it was that cover two with the safeties high. This year, obviously, it'll be tough to do that given, you know, the improvement the Giants have made with their receiving core, including tight end. But a team, you know, teams around the league know now how to beat the Giants if they want to, and that'll be to get to the quarterback. And when you're a team with pass rushers, like you say, of Joey Bosa and Justin Houston and Khalil Mack and Von Miller and Cliff Avril and so on and so forth, it, you know, definitely the ingredients are there to put together a game plan to sort of limit the Giants offense like it was last year, in my opinion.
No, you're 100% right. And, you know, I feel like we didn't talk much about the right side of the line, whether, you know, Jerry, Fluker, Hart on the right side. Ryan, were there any notes or numbers you can give us in regards to that side of the line? I know, you know, Pugh and what Richburg got some snaps. Richburg gave up that big pressure that led to the TJ Watt sack. But you got anything for us on the right side of the line?
All those guys were fine. No one really gave up any pressure, so there wasn't too much concern there. Bobby Hart actually did not allow a pressure, I believe.
Okay, that's perfect.
So there you go.
And this is one thing I want to bring up. Sorry, Wes. Just like the difference, you know, people are tweeting at us today basically saying, you know, we can't be judging Flowers on his value as a 9th overall pick because that's not what he is. He was overdrafted. Regardless, like, the guy would have gone in the first round. I know that there are some people out there saying that there were teams that had third round grades on him, but people always reach for the offensive line. If he didn't go at 9th overall, he would have been a first round pick for someone else. So, you know, I think it is still fair to criticize him on the fact that he is pretty much a 9th overall bust. And then you look over at Bobby Hart, who seems to also be improving at the same rate. And, you know, Bobby Hart is 7th round pick. And, you know, he didn't play well last year, but Flowers played so much worse that the heat was more so on him. So I just wanted to bring that up. Weiss?
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, reports so far at a camp is when you're reading and you're listening to what people are saying is, you know, the improvements are there with Bobby Hart. And, again, he's someone to monitor, but on the left side, just because he's a first, you know, Flowers is a first round pick versus Hart a 7th round pick, and you're sort of seeing better improvements from Hart, who's also going up against a really good defensive end in practice in JPP. You know, obviously it is sort of, you know, alarming to say to some fans when Hart is showing more improvement than Flowers has.
Absolutely. All right. We touched on the offensive line. Can we talk about Shane Smith for a minute? Because Weiss, we both touched on him last podcast and basically how we really hoped, you know, he was your sleeper to make the 53. I really loved that they were getting the fullback involved. I don't know how likely it is that they keep him on the roster because they actually have a bunch of competent tight ends. I'm a huge fan. The one catch he had out of the backfield for 9 yards. I've seen some awesome lead blocks. I've seen some great footage from practice. Again, it's practice, but I think it was a key aspect to the Giants offense that was missing last year, especially with how bad the offensive line was. And I think that if they do bring him in and leave him on the 53, tremendous asset to the running game.
Go ahead, Ryan. You're the guest. I'll sort of let you go first on this thing.
All right. I'm not sure he's going to make the roster. You know, I know fans do want a fullback there, but they did move Evan Ingram around, and he actually saw some time in the backfield as well. I think he had 4 snaps at fullback, I believe. I think his alignment breakdown was 4 snaps at fullback, 4 snaps in the slot, and then somewhere around like 15 in line. So they'll move him around, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I did tweet him out, and Ethan, you did say the 68% 11 personnel, so that is down. So, you know, I mean, there's maybe a possibility later in the season, say, like, Ellison gets hurt or something like that, they might bring him up or sign him off, you know, waivers or whatever. But at this point, I don't see him making the roster. I don't know about you, Weiss.
You know, I've sort of gone back and forth with it. I think a lot of it will depend on what happens in the next couple of weeks with the offensive line. I think if they don't show improvement in run blocking, could it sort of come down to, you know, a battle between keeping a fourth tight end or a fullback? Particularly, I think Matt Lacoste, who could, is sort of on the bubble. But if it comes down to it, will they carry, you know, Shane Smith? And that, it also depends on what he can do on special teams, what he can bring to the table there. I think, you know, if the offensive line continues to struggle and, you know, and Shane Smith continues to show that he can sort of help the running game, and, you know, judging on the practice clips and what we saw in the first preseason game, I think he definitely can. It'll be a tough move to make in cutting him. But, you know, again, it's still fairly early. I know camp ended, but there's still three preseason games left, and I'm eager to see what happens. But, you know, I'm sort of 50-50 on it. I think, Ethan, you brought up some good points about it, and, you know, Ryan, obviously you brought up some good points. So I'm going to wait and see what happens after the second preseason game, and then going into that third preseason game, we'll see more if the Giants are willing to keep that fullback there, and how will it impact other positions as well?
Yeah, I mean, if you look around, and I brought it up sort of at the beginning, the Mike McCarthy offense, they use a lot of, you know, tight end, fullback options. One of the reasons I'm not that high on Ty Montgomery for fantasy reasons is because they like to give the short yardage stuff to a fullback or a tight end or someone like that. So I do think that the fullback has a really good place in this offense. But going off of history, the fact that it is a passing league, the fact that the Giants are very deep at tight end, I would probably put Shane Smith's odds at probably less than 50%. I am rooting for him, though. Big fan. Like what he brings to the table. I guess that's it for the offensive side of the ball. Weiss, I know you wanted to touch on defense. Is there anything specifically you want to talk about, or should we go right into preseason game two, what we're looking for?
I just had a quick question for Ryan. I mean, I think we talk about the offensive side. Defensively, we know how good they are. And what do you think are some of the weak parts of this defense? And particularly, I want to talk about the linebackers and coverage-wise. I know PFF kind of puts these numbers out with you know, linebackers and coverage, and I've sort of seen Casillas' name in there, and as well as Keenan Robinson. Are the struggles of, or excuse me, the weakness of the Giants defense being those linebackers, is that sort of, you know, kind of overstated, or is that a fairly adequate statement to make?
No, it's definitely an adequate statement to make. I think what the Giants' philosophy is they're going to stop the run, and, you know, that's all they really care about. They're not in it for a coverage linebacker. I think it's just an organizational philosophy, more so than just the coaches, because I think it's been like that for – well, it's been documented that it's been like that for years and years now, whatever. Carl Banks was the last first-round pick at linebacker, I think. So it's been like that. I don't think that's going to change. Keenan Robinson is probably going to be your coverage guy if you do want a coverage guy. I know he's been injured, but I'm interested to see what B.J. Goodson does. He was fine last preseason in coverage. I don't think he gave up anything this past game. I know that he did have that – that one block where it was a run play. I think it was inside zone lead, and then he got blown up, and then it went for like a 15-yard run, but that was in run defense. But in coverage, you know, I'm interested to see how B.J. Goodson does, but I just don't think that they really value a coverage linebacker as much as I think it would take the defense to another level. I know, Weiss, you had talked about, can this defense get to another level? I think, you know, if you put like a Zach Cunningham or something, if they would have drafted in the first round, I think that's how you get to another level, because that position is by far the weakest on the defense. It's not even close.
All good points. Let's go to preseason game number two real quick. Ryan, I know you wrote a preview for Pro Football Focus for preseason game number two. I'm going to throw it to you. Give us some matchups that you're looking at, some position battles that you think are going to be nice and tight.
Yeah, so I kind of touched on a couple of them. I want to see how Ereck Flowers does again. It's pretty obvious, but, it's a big storyline. Eli Manning did get the ball out the third fastest last year, 2.39 seconds. So I think it is possible that they get around the whole Flowers thing. If you can get average tackle play in the NFL, that is so valuable in today's NFL. Like, if you think about how many bad tackles there are and how many good pass rushers there are, if you can just get average tackle play, that takes your offense to a new level. So obviously going to be watching Flowers. I want to see how Evan Engram is used. I went over how he was used. I'm really not sure how he's going to hold up on the backside of inside zone specifically. The NFL runs a lot of inside-outside zones. So if you think about it, they're going off the first guy on line of scrimmage, play side of the center, and then the second guy in line of scrimmage would be outside zone. So you think of those stretch plays. But what happens a lot is the backside tight end, you saw it a lot with Will Tye last year, they get just destroyed, and then it blows up the run, even if everybody else has a perfect block. So I'm interested to see how he holds up. We didn't get a ton of snaps. I think there was only 7 run snaps in the first game. So I really do want to see how Engram holds up. And then other than that, I want to see how the quarterbacks do. I think, they didn't have a great first impression there. I think Eli should have some snaps, but I want to see if I actually thought Josh Johnson was going to win the job originally. I do think they want Geno to win it, but, I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Definitely. Weiss, what about you?
For me, it's the offensive line. That's the biggest story for the Giants, I think the rest of the way, unless something drastic changes. But I think all eyes will be on the offensive line again. The microscope is on them, particularly on the left side with Ereck Flowers. He's going to be going up against Myles Garrett, who is number one overall pick. We'll see how he does against him. But for me, that's where my eyes will be focused on. I think we'll see the offense, first team offensive line play a quarter, maybe a little bit more than a quarter. So we'll have more of more plays, more snaps, more stuff on film to kind of critique and talk about. But for me, it's the offensive line. Also, eager to see what the Giants do with their running game. They've said all, summer, spring and summer long that Paul Perkins is their guy. He did get a lot of the first team reps in the last preseason game. We'll see how they split the carries between him, Darquan, Vereen, and Gallman. And that's something else I'm going to be watching as well. And of course, the quarterback, the competition for the backup quarterback spot, as well as seeing what Eli brings to the table in his limited snaps in the second preseason game.
All good. For me, like you guys said, offensive line, want to see how Ereck Flowers does and more action. I also want to see more continued use of the tight ends, less 11 personnel, more Evan Engram, more Drill Adams, more Rhett Ellison. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I want to see more of the cornerbacks, Michael Hunter, Dion as well. So that's pretty much what I'm looking for. In my mind, Geno's sort of solidified that backup quarterback role. Davis Webb is going to be irrelevant this year unless they are that injury bitten, knock on wood. That's pretty much it for me. It's going to be primarily the offensive line. I think it's the only thing that can possibly hinder them this season. So just to see if Ereck Flowers' first preseason game was a fluke or not, my eyes are going to be on him specifically.
Ethan, can I jump in and give you one more?
Yeah.
I want to watch Kerry win.
Okay. Yes. My guy.
Yes. He had a sack, a hurry, and 2 stops. Stops, for people who don't follow PFF that much, they would basically be a play that constitutes a failure for the offense. So, for example, if a 2-yard run on first down, if you get a 2-yard run on first down That would be considered an offensive failure because it doesn't really improve your position. But if you get a 1 yard run on fourth and inches, that considerably improves your position. So that would be a stop. But anyway, sorry.
And I declared last summer the summer of Win because I was so impressed with what I saw in the preseason. I think he came to this team as a very good run stopping defensive end. And I think his pass rushing ability has improved year over year. And I think, and this is something that I wrote about, is there's no doubt in my mind that the Giants have the depth at defensive end to give JPP and Olivier Vernon those rests. It's going to come down to whether or not Steve Spagnuolo has faith in them, because last season those two got worked into the ground, and their health is going to be pivotal if the Giants want to make a run. All right, let's get to some questions before we wrap it up here. Garrett asks, how much will the addition of Rhett Ellison help this offense? I liked what I saw in the first preseason game. Rhett Ellison's going to be huge. I mean, they went out and they paid him maybe a little bit too much. I really like what he brings to the table. I think he's going to be pivotal in helping both Ereck Flowers and Bobby Hart block chipping defensive ends before they go out for a pass, or maybe even just exclusively help block. McAdoo said Rhett Ellison, underrated block pass catcher. We saw that in preseason game number one. Let's see if it continues in preseason game number two. Ryan?
Yep, I agree. You know, Evan Engram actually lined up over 50% of his routes in the slot last year at Ole Miss. So I think that Rhett Ellison's going to be getting a lot of the inline. I'd rather see them have two tight ends out there and put Ellison on the line and then put Engram out in the slot. Mix it up a little bit. I think that'd be the best way to utilize him because he was really just a slot receiver in college. So yeah, I think he's going to be pretty big in the offense.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You guys nailed it. Ellison has been sort of used a lot in the passing game, and I want to see how they continue to use him as a blocker and as a pass catcher.
All right, next one from Chan, our guy. Most useless form of protection: broken condom, alarm with code taped to the keypad, Flowers at left tackle, single coverage against Giants wide receivers. I did a little bit of thinking on this one. Apparently, broken condom, only a 2% chance of getting pregnant. That was very, very preliminary research. Someone can go look that up and let me know if I'm correct. So if that's 2%, Ereck Flowers is definitely better than 2%. I would say an alarm with code taped to the keypad, I mean, that's got to fail 100% of the time. Single coverage against Giants wide receivers, that's risky. That's real risky. I'm going to go with the alarm with the code taped to the keypad as the most useless form of protection. Ryan?
Yeah, when I saw this tweet, it made my day. It was a great start to the day. It's a tough one. I'm actually probably going to go with broken condom. I'm going to have to go with broken condom.
Okay, Weiss?
I'm going to say single coverage on the Giants
receiver. All right, we got three different answers. Next question from Shelp. Will the unsung hero for this Giants offense be fullback Shane Smith? Due to the West Coast offense being able to utilize the fullback for run and pass blocking. He may not be the unsung hero. I do think he's got a role. We spoke about him sort of in depth, and he's a guy I really want to see make the roster. I think the unsung hero could end up being Rhett Ellison, though.
Yeah, I'm a big Shane Smith fan. I think he does bring something to the table that could help the Giants. It's just going to be whether or not the Giants are willing to sacrifice another body for him, given the type of offense that they have. And the unsung hero is, I'm with you, man, Rhett Ellison. If he can stay on the field on passing plays and be able to catch passes as well as block, this could turn out to be a very good signing for the Giants.
Absolutely. Ryan?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to make the roster. But unsung hero. Should I give John Jerry some love? He'll be a solid right.
Yeah, go for it. We're getting weird.
You know, not a great run blocker, but he's always been a solid pass blocker. I don't think DJ Fluker is actually going to challenge him. Fluker was actually getting beaten pretty solidly in practice when I was there. So I'll go with DJ Fluker on the offensive line.
John Jerry.
Sorry, that's an event. Yep.
All right, beautiful. All right, that's it for the questions. Typically, we do a little random chatter at the end of the podcast, led by Weiss. Does anyone have anything?
I have something to add.
All right.
We got someone from Pro Football Focus on.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I totally forgot about this. Go ahead and ask.
So I somewhat agree with you guys on your grading of Eli Manning in the last couple of years. What do you guys see from Eli Manning to give him such a poor grade versus what some Giants fans don't see, Ryan?
Sure. So this offseason, one of the things that we went back and did was we charted the advanced accuracy of every single quarterback in the NFL, and then we also did it for all the draft-eligible guys. So we were looking at the coverage they were facing, whether – so if the ball was accurate, whether it was still, you know, high, low, even if it was still a caught pass, things like that, the coverage they were facing, the type of throws that the quarterbacks are making. So I did that for every single pass that Eli had this past year. And what I came away with was that even when he was accurate and receivers would catch the ball, he wasn't as accurate as some of these other quarterbacks that I was watching. He was 27th in adjusted completion percentage. So that's taking out, you know, drops and spikes and throwaways and everything like that. You know, that's just really – that's where a lot of his grade comes from. It's just not being as accurate as some other quarterbacks. I actually don't think that this offense suits him as well as the Gilbride offense did. I think he is a quarterback who's going to make special throws. That is what he does. That's what he did in big moments. That's why Giants fans love him. I don't think he's the quarterback who's going to be completing all these checkdowns or short passes very accurately on a consistent basis. So I think we penalize him when he's inaccurate, and you might not think about that play after it happens. You might just think, oh, it's an incompletion. You know, it was a 2-yard slant that he threw in the dirt, but, or high probably, but we give him a downgrade for that. Or if he's inaccurate downfield, I mean, how many times do you think he overthrew OBJ out of bounds, even when OBJ had won his battle against that cornerback? So it's things like, it's plays like that where you don't really remember, but we take that into account because all we're doing is quantifying that player's performance. So you see those special throws and you remember those highlight reel throws, but it's all that stuff in the middle that the grade captures that the normal fan or even an analyst doing a game forgets about, but the grade does capture.
So even with these 2014 and 2015, with Eli having his career year, was that more to the fact that he had a receiver the caliber of Odell Beckham Jr. versus the fact that he was playing in a better offense?
Yep. I think it's a product of the offense as a whole. I go back to passer rating. Passer rating is not really a good way to judge a quarterback. It's a better way to judge a passing offense because it doesn't have to just do with the quarterback. So if Eli's throwing a slant to OBJ, he takes a 5-yard slant to the house, breaks 4 tackles. We're not going to give Eli credit for that 80-yard touchdown. We're going to give him credit for that 5-yard completion, and they'd give OBJ the rest of that credit. And that's what PFF does. We just try to individualize player performance and quantify it and just add it all up at the end.
Do you think with the additions that the Giants have made this offseason that we could see a better individual performance by Eli Manning?
Definitely. I think the more weapons you put around a quarterback, the better he's going to play. The easier the coverage looks are, you know, the whole slew of things. I think he is in for a bigger year. I do think he had a little bit of turnover luck last year. I think he had over 35 turnover-worthy plays. So whether they were interceptions that were dropped or fumbles that were recovered, we still count those against the quarterback. So he got a little lucky on that end, but I do think that he's in for a bigger year than last year. It remains to be seen, you know, how it all shakes out, but I think they put the weapons around him. Everything is there for him. He can definitely distribute the ball to great playmakers. It's not like the offense is going to be awful because of Eli. I think he is competent enough, more than competent enough, of getting the ball to his playmakers, and they certainly have a ton of them on the offense.
And one last question, and I'll pass it off to you, Ethan. What is Pro Football Focus's love affair with Brandon Graham?
Is it Pro Football Focus's love affair, or is it my love affair too?
it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. Because I know the pressure thing. I know he gets a lot of pressures, but man, you guys even got mad and giving him like a 98, overall. Rating in Madden. So I'm just wondering, what is this love affair with Brandon Graham? I know he's a good player, but man, you guys are really, really, really riding him hard.
I know. So this year he had by far the best year of his career. He'd always been pretty productive with the snaps that he was given, but this year with a bigger role, he was just unbelievable. I just think back to the Eagles game, and this is why the Giants always struggle with the Eagles, is because they're edge rushers. Now they have Derek Barnett just tear up the Giants tackles. Whether you see Eli get sacked or not, if you just watch the Giants tackles, only the Giants tackles, so don't watch the ball, you will see Brandon Graham absolutely dominate Bobby Hart. He, like I said, it doesn't always have to be a pressure. He could, kill Bobby Hart. Eli throws the ball in 0.5 seconds. We're still going to give Brandon Graham credit for throwing Bobby Hart to the ground. So if you just watch him snap for snap, he is unbelievable. That's why we love Brandon. That's why we love Brandon Graham. So the sacks are not all equal, and I like to make that point a lot, because sometimes you get a TJ Watt cleanup sack, but then sometimes you get Ereck Flowers getting thrown to the ground or beaten outside, and that edge rusher did a lot more. So not all sacks are equal, and I know that number carries a ton of weight, but for him it's just consistently getting pressure, and he does it at a rate that not many others other than Von Miller and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack do in the NFL.
And one thing on Brandon Graham, we're back in the offseason of 2015, or prior to the start of the 2015 season, the Giants were really close to signing him, and
I think it would have been a great signing. It would have fit the scheme pretty well, and I think that they would have gotten a steal on his contract. I really do. I think they were offering him like $4 million a year or something like that. It would have been an absolute steal. Robert Ayers was a player who didn't get a ton of sacks either, but he was very productive.
Right. I think they offered Brandon Graham a 1-year deal, if I remember correctly. I think he had injury issues early on in his career, so there was a lot of uncertainty. But, he's a good player. He does give the Giants hell when he does play them.
For sure.
All right. I got nothing else. So without further ado, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you for listening, guys. Stay tuned for the giveaway. Stay tuned for the Fantasy Football League. Go follow Ryan on Twitter at @PFF_Smith. Ryan, thank you for joining us. That is it for this week. We'll speak to you guys next week. Peace.
Coming on. Peace.